Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm so excited, and it's going to be a really, really, really fun show today. You can check me out on Twitter at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and I'm excited. I think I do have Jesse on the line. Jesse, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Neil.
I am so excited to welcome the program New York Times bestselling author, former governor of the great state of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, author of Shit Politicians Say, the funniest, dumbest, most outrageous things ever uttered by our leaders. Jesse, thanks for calling, man, and how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, having a good time doing the book tour. It was a fun book to do and research because it was pretty astounding, some of the things that have come out of the mouths of our leaders down through the years. We even went back to the founding fathers and discovered they weren't sitting around the campfire singing Kumbaya, that there really was some hostility between them. But yet they were able to come together in the end, create the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the fabric of this country because they put the country before their own personal problems, which I think would be bode well today.
Jesse, and I hope you don't mind me calling you Jesse. I'd love to call you Governor Ventura, but however I want to address it, really the craziest stuff we're hearing out of politicians' mouths today, you could probably write stuff in your book, add another chapter to your book from last night, you know?
Well, you know, the big thing today is, too, though, I cover this in the book, is that it's at its very worst today. One reason is because of social media and the technology we have. You know, elected officials today, you would have to walk around 24/7 and realize anything, anytime, anywhere, anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of public opinion. Because
Twitter can
today
be dangerous.
There's nothing you can say in public today that will not be recorded in some manner.
Exactly. And Twitter can be dangerous, can it? For the kind of things
all
when
of
you're
it.
Just
I
frustrated.
Mean, you could be out just at a neighborhood block party meeting, and somebody there could turn something on and tape every word you'd say. And so,
absolutely.
You know, there's no escape today with the technology and the social media that exists in the world today. It isn't the world that I grew up in. You know, I'm 65 now, and I'm adjusting to it also.
Exactly. And you think about when we see what politicians say, a lot of times they're being performers, the newer times. They're trying to get the greatest buzz possible. Learning from your days in professional wrestling, where again it was a work. I'm a former pro wrestler, by the way, Jesse. It just seems so much scripted stuff, and what some of these people say just for their party line.
Well, it's even more scripted. Having been in pro wrestling, you know, pro wrestling you have to be trained, and it's very much ad lib. You know, you have to be able to know wrestling in the ring and be able to ad-lib your way. I always refer to wrestling as ballet with violence. In fact, it's in the book as one of my quotes, that wrestling is ballet with violence. But the thing is today, though, with the political end, is that anything they say can be recorded at any time. And like there are two conventions that are happening right now. These are the most choreographed, orchestrated bunch of garbage you're ever going to see. That's why I don't watch them. I mean, the people that are in there are hand-picked. You can't just go in. Reporters from Minnesota, top political reporters on the local CBS station, told me they're not going because they can't even get in the building.
Really?
It's got five levels of security around it. And so what you're getting is a total, it's a joke because it's all totally rehearsed. It's a Hollywood production done by the political parties to try to sway you to vote for them. It's that simple. And I know where I'm voting. I'm voting for Libertarian Gary Johnson. There's nothing they can do to change my vote. You have two candidates with the highest negatives in history. People dislike them both. Yeah. I say, why not let Gary Johnson into the debates and give people an alternative choice?
Most definitely. Again, we need to have more of a choice, especially when how negative both candidates are. And it's just going to be a Hollywood script the rest of the way. The debates are going to be a complete joke and a farce. And basically, yep, leading up to the election will be a farce because either of them are going to try to cause some sort of...
Do you know why the debates are the majority of the debates are a farce? Do you want to know why? I've been in it.
Why?
They get the questions ahead of time. So they have all their spin doctors and their writers and that. It just like, remember when George Bush got caught using the earpiece?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're reminding him and refreshing his memory to the question so he can give the right answer when asked. See, that's what makes the debates phony, is that they each side gets the questions beforehand, and they can actually object to them and have them removed if they don't like a particular question. And so it's all agreed upon ahead of time. It's the biggest scam going. It makes, put it this way, it makes wrestling look up and up.
So a lot of my friends who are pro wrestlers...
Well, remember, too, wrestling is, because it's the only sport you can't bet on.
You got it. And I think...
So wrestling's not controlled by gambling. Always remember that. It's the only sport not controlled by gambling.
Great point. Give us one of the quotes you found from the books or for our listeners out there that want to definitely get this. I can't wait to check it out, like some of the things that you discovered in your research.
Well, one of the great quotes, it's on the back cover of the book, and unfortunately my mother-in-law, I only had one copy. She was over the other night, and like a dummy, I told her, here, take mine. So she's got my copy. I don't have one right now. But if you have it, on the back cover, the last quote by George W. Bush is the one that sends chills up my spine, where he says, someday someone smart's going to come in here and figure out what we did in this Oval Office, something to that effect. And it sounds like a confession.
It does.
Have you
gotten
the book?
Yeah. Oh no, I did not receive the book. I'd love to
have
it.
Well, it's the last quote on the back cover for those that when they get the book read it. It's just chilling to read that. It's almost like he's taunting us that, boy, did we pull the wool over your eyes, and 25 years from now it'll all come to light.
And you see it with just the quotes that are coming out, and even with the whole thing that you probably would have had in your book again, the speech between the current first lady and Trump's wife, and even the tweet that Trump did, President Obama did 8 years ago. It's ridiculous how these things are stolen and taken and everything. Kind of like pro wrestling, right?
Well, even worse. Even worse,
yeah.
Because it's our country and all these wrestling's entertainment. Politics,
yes,
should not be. Politics should not be entertainment. And unfortunately, with the news media the way it is today, politics too is entertainment. They've turned it into entertainment. And it shouldn't be. You know, the days of Walter Cronkite are over. Now it's all about... See, the downfall of the media was the show 60 Minutes, believe it or not. It's a great show. But 60 Minutes shot to number one, and when the bean counters saw that, they said, you mean we can make money with the news? And that's the news became entertainment. Because now it's all about making money and getting ratings rather than educate. In the old days, the news department took a loss, and they made up for it in the entertainment department division. The news was a negative. They made up for it in entertainment. Today, the news makes its own money now. And so because the news is controlled, they have to turn it into entertainment rather than educating us like they did in the days of Walter Cronkite.
Well, fantastic. I'd love to chat with you another time for sure, Jesse. Best place we can find information on you, purchase your book, and learn more about you. Where can we go?
Well, you know, you can get the book anywhere. I'm not in that line of work. That's Skyhorse Publishing, and it's in all the bookstores. You can get it in all your internet places that you get normal books. It's a fun read because it's the type of book you don't have to start at page one necessarily and go through it. You can pick it up at any page and just read a couple quotes a day if you want. It's great for, as they call it, those coffee table books, where someone can pick it up and you can read one quote and everyone around the room can probably have a 10-minute discussion on the quote. So, and it was a fun book. It was a fun book to do and very knowledgeable because you can't believe some of the things that, quote, our leaders have said. One that comes to mind quickly is Al Gore when he tells you that a zebra can't change its spots.
And I'm sure you have a couple of...
And he's being
like
truthful. He's right. A zebra can't change its spots.
And then also, you know, what about the 157 states that Obama said or something? Or I don't know if you put that in there or not, but whatever it is.
It could be. I can't even remember them all. But we gave certain people, we gave their own chapters, like Sarah Palin and George W. Bush, because they had so many that you had to give them their own chapter.
All right. Best place we can also follow you on social media and stuff, your website, all that. Where can we go?
Oh, yeah, it's out there. I don't know. The people, I just talk on it to the people. They run it. I don't.
No, what,
I've never owned a cell phone, man. Hey, you got to understand, I've never owned a cell phone, and nor will I ever.
Wow. Well, I hope someday...
I want to be able to put on my grave when I die. I'm 65 now. If I live another 20, if I'm fortunate, I want to put on my gravestone, he never owned a cell phone.
Okay. I don't know. I couldn't live with it, especially my social media expertise and stuff, Jesse. But what's definitely, if you're ever in Pittsburgh, let's have coffee. Okay, sound good?
Absolutely. Look forward to it. And hi to all my friends in Pittsburgh. And the only thing I got to tell the Pittsburgh people is, though, coal is not the answer.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling, man. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it. Take care, man. We'll do it again.
Absolutely. Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye. You're
bye-bye.
Listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just... Hi, Cynthia. Are you on the line?
I am on the line. Good morning.
Fantastic. Good morning. So I'm excited to welcome to the program Real Housewives of Atlanta star Cynthia Bailey, and she's going to talk about Sharknado, the fourth Awakens that premieres on July 31st on Sci-Fi. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. So look at this kind of a difference for you, you know, being on the Housewives for so many different years and now with Sharknado. This is different for you, right?
You know, being an actress is very different from being a reality star. It's two different things, two different movements. And, you know, on our show, you know, we just be ourselves. We just do what we do and we react how we would normally act. And I will say, you know, as an actor, you know, it's a whole nother thing. You have to become the character. You know, it's a lot going on. I was excited for the opportunity and to, you know, be a part of this, the platform. You know, I love acting, so I thought this was a fun opportunity.
So your experience in acting before this, Cynthia, with, you know, being on The Real Housewives for so many years, were you an actress before Real Housewives?
You know what? I actually have done some dabbling in acting before the show. I actually was on The Cosby Show, you know, years ago as well. You know, only had like two or three episodes I was on. I was a friend of one of the castmates on the show. So that was cool. And I did some episode of Law and Order, you know, little things here and there. My main focus was always modeling back then, but you know, I mean, I've dabbled. I will say now I'm at a point where, you know, I'd like to seriously, you know, pursue acting.
Absolutely. So that experience definitely helped you with The Real Housewives for sure. Let's talk a little bit about Sharknado. Then maybe you can give us maybe a little hint of what we could expect or what's going to happen in the next season or any ideas of where it's gone, The Real Housewives. But let's go Sharknado, first of all. What is your role in this and what are you doing in the show?
Well, I play a gorgeous scientist.
Okay.
I play a scientist. My role is to help save the world. There's a huge Meatnado headed toward the planet to kill everyone, and myself, alongside Tommy Davidson and another actress, we have to mastermind the situation and stop it. And, you know, you have to see the movie, but I will say, I'll just put out there that I did not die in Sharknado. So, you know what that means. That means there's a possibility that I could be
a
Tornado 5 because I don't think the tornadoes are going anywhere anytime soon.
Okay. No, I think this is definitely fantastic. And think about working with Tommy Davidson. Oh, my gosh. I got the chance to chat with him a couple months ago. Man, he is so funny, and it's great to see him back rolling again because of just I was such a huge fan of In Living Color and stuff. It must have been fun working with him.
Oh, yeah. Tommy's hilarious. And, I just had a great time, like Hasselhoff, Tara Reid, like the whole cast was just really, really amazing. And, you know, there's a lot of celebrity cameos. None of the cameo people were there my day. So I've heard a lot of different names. I know one of my castmates, Kenya Moore, is also does a cameo in the movie as well. So, you know, you get a couple housewives in there. So make sure you guys check it out.
Oh, we definitely will check it out for sure, and we'll try to get it out all over the place through syndication and through social media, Cynthia, just to get that going. Now, how is it Ian with coming up with this whole thing with Sharknado? What a brand this is becoming, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's crazy. He was awesome to work with as well. He's very serious. He's a very focused guy, you know. And, it was fun. It was fun hanging out with those guys all day. I mean, I just can't believe how the Sharknado 4, I remember seeing the first one. And, of course, at that time, I never thought I would be in the Sharknado movie. So, I'm excited. You know, I think you have to just go with it. Just go with life. See what happens. And I think, you never know. Like I said, this could be the beginning of a very long acting Sharknado career for me.
it's great. You can't die, right? That's the big thing, right?
Yeah, as long as I live, there's an opportunity I can come back. I just got to figure
That's
out.
For sure.
I just got to figure out how to stay alive.
And well, that's great, and for sure. And updates for us, for any updates you can give us about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I know you're filming right now. Anything to the
yes.
fans and how you've been excited about? Give us a little bit of an update.
Yeah, well, you know what? We are currently filming Real Housewives of Atlanta right now. We are pretty much, we usually come on in November. The show, will be just as entertaining and dramatic as always. I'm dealing with a lot of different things, career-wise and also personally on the show. And, this is my seventh season. I think this is like season eight or season nine, but this is my seventh. And, you guys got to make sure you tune in. We won't disappoint. We are the number one show on Bravo.
Well, congrats. That's got to be exciting for you, right? Especially with when you started,
yeah.
You saw the other Real Housewives brands and ones that were really doing really well. And you guys came in and said, okay, we're going to take this role on now, right? And probably people didn't expect right? Compared to the other ones.
Yeah, Atlanta took it over. Atlanta's like no other. That's why we've consistently been number one. And, I just think there's something for everybody on Atlanta. There's something about Atlanta. So I'm very excited.
The ATL.
To be a part of this for 7 years.
And the work out there for acting is huge in the ATL, isn't it? There's a lot of work opportunities.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, tons of television and film is being filmed in Atlanta. So, yes, Atlanta's hot. Hot Atlanta is hotter than ever.
Well, that's great for you because you have this, you have the Real Housewives, you have other things. Any other projects you can tell us about right now, Cynthia, or is that pretty much what's going on?
No. Yeah. Of course, that's never all of it. Real Housewives of Atlanta, Sharknado. I have tons of other projects, but more importantly, my Cynthia Bailey eyewear. It's hugely successful. You can go to CynthiaBaileyEyewear.com. I just had a huge event in the Hamptons. I'm on my way back to the city now. Also have Cargo by Cynthia Bailey. It's a leather goods line, backpacks, clutches, phone cases, doing very well. My overall goal is to build a Cynthia Bailey's fashion accessories empire. So I got hats coming, I got scarves coming, I got watches,
nice.
You name it. The plan is you have to have a plan, is to be the queen of fashion accessories. So stay tuned. A lot of things.
And see, And see, Cynthia, it's because what you see is ultimately the real loyal fans are your fans on Bravo's Real Housewives of Atlanta. They love you, and you just keep connecting with them, and they want to support things you're doing, right? That's the cool thing about
being
on a show like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm really grateful for that. You know, I'm very real. I'm very transparent on the show. Very down to earth, and you know, my fans relate to me because everything, you know, a lot of things that I go through, you know, as a mother, as a wife, as a businesswoman, you know, as a friend, as a sister, as a daughter of, you know, as my mom's daughter, you know, people go through real stuff, and I've always been very transparent about the real stuff that I go through, and I think people can relate to that.
Okay, so Sharknado, The Fourth Awakening. Fantastic. Well, fantastic. The best place we can find information. Well, you already told our website. Give us your website one more time and social media. We can follow you.
Okay. For all things Cynthia Bailey, please follow me on social media, Cynthia Bailey 10, Cynthia Bailey 10. Cynthia Bailey Eyewear, go to CynthiaBaileyEyewear.com. Cynthia Bailey Bags and Leather Goods, go to Cargo by CB, Cargo by Cynthia, Cargo by, let me see, my bag line is CargoByCynthiaBailey.com.
Awesome. Great chatting with you. Thanks for coming on the show and take care.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrities Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey,
Jarrell, are you on the line? Jarrell, are you on the line?
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Awesome. I'm excited to welcome the program pro boxer Jarrell, Big Baby Miller. Jarrell, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm good, man. Feeling great. God is good. And I just ate a burger, so I'm feeling amazing.
Well, you trained a lot before that, and you're eating a burger, and it's not even noon, Jarrell. So you definitely are a bigger boxer than some, especially in the heavyweight division, right?
Yep, definitely. I'm called what you call a super-sized athlete. I do extraordinary things.
Yeah, so you started out as an American kickboxer. Tell me specifically, is that when you started fighting, was American kickboxing?
Well, not exactly American kickboxing, because you have three different styles of kickboxing. You have American kickboxing, you have Muay Thai, and you have a Dutch style of kickboxing. I started up doing Muay Thai first. And, you know, I ranked up, I was number one in New York State, then became number one in the country for about 3 years. You know, I racked up a record of 22-2 with 10 knockouts. You know, I had two bad decisions against legendary Mirko. And, you know, I just said, you know, I had enough of kickboxing and focus all my energy and time on boxing. So, you know, I'm just a bad boy now in boxing. I'm ranked number 8 in the world, and, you know, we're knocking on all bums.
Well, I'm going to start following boxing more now because I interviewed you. You seem like a really great guy, and I hope that you bring boxing back to its heydays. You know, the days of Mike Tyson, the days of where really fights were really mean something. Only one fight a year means something anymore, Jarrell. But let's go right into, you know, when I was saying that you need, you know, the history of boxing, a boxer exciting like yourself can probably bring back that excitement that's missing in the sport.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you got to think about it right now. There's no heavyweight doing what I'm doing right now. You got guys with these undefeated records, but they just not, you know, they're not exciting. You know, Deontay Wilder, you know, he's been champ for over a year now, and more than half the country don't even know who he is. You know what I mean? And I feel like even though he's getting knockouts, he's fighting, you know, not the most, you know, the best of the best, but, you know, he's not really the most exciting guy to watch. You know, he's a little sloppy. He's not really technical. But when you watch me, you're going to get that reminder of what boxing used to be back in the day. You're going to get a little bit of Ali. You're going to get a little bit of Tyson. You're going to get a little Riddick Bowe. So, you know, I got a different kind of flavor when it comes to the fighting game, and I'm definitely a crowd pleaser.
It sounds like you're a historian, too. You're into the history of boxing, Jarrell. Am I correct? Looking back at the heyday of the great boxers.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I mean, I've been following boxing from the beginning. You know, my favorite boxer, hands down, is Mike Tyson. But people ask
me
who your top, you know, top three, top five guys. And I'm like, you know, other than Mike, because, you know, I grew up in the Mike Tyson era. You know, Mike was the reason why I love boxing so much. But then when you go back to the history of it, you know, my next guy that comes up is Jack Johnson, you know, the first black heavyweight champion in the world. You know, he was the original Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies. You know what I mean? So you do a story on Jack Johnson, you cannot but like that guy. And then, of course, Ali comes into play, you know, his struggle is as an athlete in America at that time, you know. So a lot of great, great things come out of boxing if you study the history of heavyweight champions. And, you know, I'm just ready to follow those footsteps and do great things as well.
Well, you have the charisma of George Foreman as well. So there you go, you know, and look at George and what he's been able to do for you.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. But, you know, George wasn't the most talkative guy when he was a professional boxer. He did it towards the end of his second part of his boxing career, you know, when he come out the grill and doing a Burger King commercial and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm coming out the gates popping shit from the beginning.
Exactly. You said you're ranked, you said seventh in the world right now, Jarrell?
I'm 8, 9, and 10 by 3 sanctioned and body. So I'm ranked number 8 in the world right now.
In the world, what do you need to do? Just keep knocking people out and winning, right? To get to that, to get a title, right?
Yeah, boxing is a real simple sport. You know, it's real simple. You keep winning, you keep rising, you keep beating other contenders, and you're gonna get a title shot. The thing that makes it difficult is the people that's in between it. You know, other promoters, other managers, people in the game are trying to sucker fighters. Those are the people that make boxing hard. Well, boxing is a simple sport. You beat people up, you win, you keep moving up the rankings. You know, so that's the main goal: is beat people up, knock them out, move up the rankings.
And what's difficult now is who is the champion in your division right now, heavyweight?
Well, you know, there was Vladimir Klitschko. You know, from the time I was 14 years old, my eyesight was always on Vladimir Klitschko. I want to knock him out. So, you know, from the time he just lost the belt earlier this year to Tyson Fury, that kind of like, you know, diminished. I still want to knock him out. But, you know, Tyson Fury has a belt. Deontay Wilder has a belt. Joshua Anthony now has a belt. So, you know, the belts kind of got scattered when Vladimir had lost. So, you know, my goal is to be the undisputed champion. These guys don't want to fight other champions right now. They're trying to keep one belt for themselves and make some money and stay happy. And my goal is to have all the belts, fight every last one of those suckers and punch their lights out.
Well, I'm going to be rooting for you for sure. And you really are looking at all these things and saying somebody that's interesting. I'm sure when you're at weigh-ins, it's funny too, right? You keep it funny and serious.
Oh, yeah, man, I do a lot of crazy stuff doing weigh-ins, you know. I remember back in the day when I was doing K-1, I wore a diaper to the weigh-in, you know, because Big Baby's here, you know. So that was kind of funny. But, you know, we do funny stuff, but at the end of the day, when it comes to that ring, and all jokes aside, you know, it was man to man, and I'm coming out on top.
So what's your next fight, Jarrell? Do you have a scheduled fight coming up?
Yeah, my next one is going to be August 19th, main event on Showbox Showtime, and I'm fighting against a guy named Fred Is Dead Cassie. So it's going to go down. He's a tough opponent, and it's going to be a good fight, and I'm going to put his lights out.
Well, and then if you win that, then what is he ranked, by the way, Jarrell?
Well, first of all, if you ever want to do an interview with Big Baby, you never say if you win. You say when you win, where will
when
I
you
be
win. I'm probably one of the biggest guys. Oh, by the way, Jarrell, I'm 6'10", former pro wrestler. So we would have a nice little stare down.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, you'd be staring down at me if you're 6'10". I'm about to hit you with a low blow.
Yeah, but what is it?
Yeah, so I'm ranked number 8. Beating him would definitely put me in the top 5 in the world.
I'm going to be rooting for that. I'm going to make sure once it gets close to that, we'll rerun the interview again when it comes to Showtime, when that happens, so we can promote the fight and promote our interview for sure, and maybe even have you back on the line again to talk about it after you win. I said after this time. What would you say? Now, in the boxing game right now, who do you think are the big people that you say to yourself, not in the heavyweight game, but in other divisions, would you say these guys are the ones that are carrying boxing right now to keep it going?
Triple G from the Ukrainian guy who signed with Klitschko Promotions, you know, Canelo, Adrian Broner. Those are like some of the major names right now that, you know, they're constantly in the tabloids. They're you know, constantly in the papers. You know, I just feel Adrian Broner is doing a little too much right now. I mean, giving himself bad publicity. But Manny Pacquiao, he's about to make another comeback fight again. Those are really Rigondeaux, you know, the Cuban guy. You know, they're not giving him much respect that he deserved. But I mean, those are smaller guys right now, really carrying boxing right now to the truth, especially in America and around the world. You know, the heavyweight division is definitely making some noise. But there's no really standout guy right now that's doing it, you know, like, you know, and I'm still at that point where I'm about to kick down the door, you know. So I'm just definitely trying to capture the media in my country first in America, and then we make it real global, you know. So we're starting off right here first at home base, and then it's going to be a worldwide takeover.
Well, I think you're going to do really well. Where's the best place we can find information on you, follow you on Twitter and stuff? Jarrell, where are the best places, social media, website, all that?
Yeah, best thing, man, is going Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the same thing. Big Baby Miller, BigBabyMiller. You find me, DM me, send me messages, I write back. So, hey, man, I'm ready to be contact, man. I love all the followers, all the friends and fans, you know, so I'm definitely here.
Get ready for the social media blitz when it goes out in syndication, and then we'll make sure we re-air it and remind me coming up to the fight. Again, the fight is what date is the fight on Showtime?
August 19th, that's about 9 p.m.
All right, August 19th, 9 p.m. Showtime. Pro boxer Jarrell Big Baby Miller, good luck. You're going to win, and you're going to be the champ someday, and then you'll come on my show again. And maybe I'll have to come out to New York City or wherever you're at and do a one-to-one interview with you with the bell, okay?
Let's do it, baby. Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Good talking, Jarrell. Take care.
Good day.
All right. See you, bud. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show. We'll be back. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out on Twitter, at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Hengu, plus also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. And I'm excited to welcome the program. I think we do have Meg on the line. One second, we'll just see. We do have Meg on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Excited to welcome the program, Meg, from Ladies Home Journal. Meg, thanks for calling, and how are things going with you?
Great, thanks. I'm happy to be here, Neil.
I'm excited to talk to you about this. Again, the latest issue of Ladies Home Journal. Tell us specifically who's on the cover, and we'll chat about that and some of the other things that'll be in this issue.
Yes, well, this was our first cover and that I did, and we put Maya Rudolph on the cover, and she's interviewed by her friend Kristen Wiig. Of course, everybody knows them as the dynamic duo from Saturday Night Live, and of course, the movie Bridesmaids, one of my personal favorites. And we were really happy to have her representing us.
Interesting. And
she's our kind of lady.
I know, I know Ladies Home Journal in the way when I used to be a magazine merchandiser. It was one of my first college jobs, and I remember always Ladies Home Journal. But you guys have rebranded yourself and changed in ways in the years, haven't you?
We have, yes. And again, I said this was my first time working on the magazine, so I think we brought a new flavor, and you know that's what happens when editors come in, and you know everybody's got big ideas, and what is Ladies Home Journal, and of course it's a heritage magazine, you know, started publication in 1883, so I felt I had quite very big shoes to fill here.
Definitely big shoes to fill. What should we expect, I guess, from that interview, Kristen and Maya? Some really interesting things of the topics they'll be covered in that issue, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the two of them are close friends, and we wanted to be like a fly on the wall. Like, what would it be like if you were to sit down with Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig? And so we kind of let them have the conversation between, you know, with each other. And so you kind of get a fly on the wall perspective, you know, as if you were sitting in the room with them. And so you really get to see how they interact and what their relationship is like. And of course, it's zany and funny and not so different from what you see with their characters on TV and in the movies.
So you were there during the interview when they were?
No, I was not there during the interview. No.
Okay.
She had one of her editors, Diane. She moderated the interview.
Well, you know, you could just think about it. Just imagine if you guys would have done Facebook Live on Ladies Home Journal, how popular process is. It's amazing how things are changing. And like this interview will go out in video, will go out in radio, it'll go out on syndication everywhere. And it's just so awesome that you can just get it and spread it out and stuff. Well, some other cool features of this article, but again, people are going to learn more about the whole situation with Ghostbusters to all the different things.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's going to be really quite interesting for sure. Did Maya and Kristen share some stuff specifically about understanding about the history of Ladies Home Journal in their interview at all, or bring any of those little tidbits up of being part of this?
I thought it was pretty pretty funny that Kristen Wiig started off her interview with Maya by asking, are we ladies? And they kind of explored the idea of whether they were ladies or not. Of course, we think that they're ladies. They're our kind of ladies.
Exactly. So people definitely have to check that out for sure. But other interesting articles, I like the other one that's Megyn Kelly's Rules for Success. I have a story for you, Meg. I thought I was going to, one time when during the Chicago teacher strike, I was supposed to be interviewed by Megyn Kelly before she had her own show, meaning on Fox, during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I got cut in the last minute. So I always will remember that when I finally get my chance to interview Megyn Kelly. I know it'll happen someday with the top celebrities that I interview, but I couldn't. She's just unbelievable, and how she is just literally changing the spectrum with stuff with Fox and then going to Fox, not just news, but Fox. She looks like she could be the next Barbara Walters if she keeps trying going the route she's going, I think.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that that was one of my favorite interviews that I have ever done. She knew what we were going to talk about. She knew that we wanted to ask her, you know, how she became successful and tell us the things that she learned on her way up the ladder and tips that she might have for people who are still making the climb. And she was just a pleasure to talk to. She just spoke completely off the cuff and from her heart. And she is so down to earth. You know, she's a huge celebrity watched by millions of people.
Yes.
But I think anybody could sit down and have a conversation with Megyn Kelly.
So you were part of that one for sure, weren't
mm-hmm.
you? For, no,
yeah,
ah,
I did.
Wow.
I did that interview. Mm-hmm.
So what a great gig gig you have, right? To interview these major people.
It was so much fun putting this issue together. You know, we really wanted to find women who were inspiring, you know, women who are doing different things with their lives. You know, women choose so many different paths in life, and that's all okay. And we wanted to celebrate that with this.
And I think Megyn Kelly's a definite great role model for women, especially still with children working full time.
Yes.
And she goes live every night. You see the other hosts, they don't go live. She does it live.
Right.
And it really pays off for her as well.
Yes, but she clearly has it together, and she goes through and tells us, you know, all the different things that she's learned on the way to make that possible. You know, we asked her, you know, don't you get nervous, and what do you do if you feel nervous? And she was very candid and very open about talking about her experience and how it wasn't always easy for her and how she was able to get beyond that and to get to the next level. And it's not easy. It's not easy pulling yourself all the way up. You know, she started from scratch just like everybody else, and she's a great role model.
Absolutely. And Meg, how many people have you interviewed that are celebrities in your career, especially starting with the magazine and this issue? Have you had other interesting celebrity interviews? I'm always interested in talking about it. Like, I had Jesse the Body Ventura. I had Governor Jesse Ventura on my show today, and I have just a variety. I've had Ken Jeong. I've had a lot of very, very interesting people throughout. But who would you say is your list before Ladies
From
Home
this?
Journal?
Yeah. Oh, from before Ladies Home Journal. Well, I also work for a magazine called The Advocate. So we do mostly LGBT news. And before that, I was a managing editor for Black Book Magazine, and that is much more artsy, celebrity-driven. So, you know, I did Diane von Furstenberg. I did Zaha Hadid, which was one of the best interviews I had up until Megyn Kelly. And I'm so glad I had that experience, especially since she passed away so untimely just a few months ago.
I think that people have to understand, listening to the show, that celebrities, you might be intimidated by what you see in the media, but when you firsthand finally meet them in person and they know that you're interviewing them and you really care about their story, they're very easy to work with. It's more
Well, we also interviewed Martha Stewart for this issue. That was a fun one, too. So I went to her office, and you know, she very gingerly let us borrow her grandfather's pocket watch, which I know is a personal treasure of hers. And of course, I was terrified, making sure nobody dropped it, making sure, you know, there weren't any accidents while it was being photographed. But she was a pleasure to talk to as well.
Well, you're gonna have some fun, right? First issue, and you have Martha Stewart and Megyn Kelly. What an interesting types of things you're gonna be doing for sure.
Yeah, Maya Rudolph.
Oh, wow. The very, very perfect world of Lisa Vanderpump. Tell us about that.
That's right.
Lisa, Real Housewives. Beverly Hills,
well,
right?
Yes. I'm a big Housewives fan. And Beverly Hills was on at the time we were putting this issue together. So when I had spoken to her for this interview, it was actually right before the final reunion that they have at the end of the show. So I wasn't even sure how it was all going to end. So that was a lot of fun. She's very open, and she was happy to share. And she gave us like every tip in her book very willingly and opened up her house to us. We went in, we shot all of the pictures there at her gorgeous Beverly Hills mansion. And, a lot of her tips, even though she's clearly well-heeled in more ways than one, a lot of her tips are things that anybody can use when they're entertaining outdoors, very simple things like putting berries in a glass of wine, just to kind of class things up a bit, instead of just throwing burgers and dogs on the grill, here are some simple ways to turn your backyard barbecue into something a little fancy.
Absolutely. And then you jump from there and talk about What's in Your Wallet by Suze Orman. And again, she is so great at really telling it like it is. Yeah.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun. It was really interesting because I was asking her about her wallet, but of course it turned into an interview that you don't see printed here, but it also turned into an interview about what's in my wallet. So she was great. She was a lot of fun to talk to. But
she
was very open. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, she, again, another successful woman who is used television in a way, but continues to bring that brand to everyone. And I think that the thing when I get to watch her on television, I see literally she'll tell it like it is. She's not afraid to say, by the way, you better get your act together. And I think that's the
thing
that's special about her.
Exactly. And I think she's going to be working with the armed forces. That's going to be her next move. She was telling me a little bit about that during our interview. She's going to be helping military families with their financial planning, which I thought was great. She's a really original woman. Amazing
woman. This magazine's got some really interesting articles, to say the least. And last, can this relationship be saved? So you've hit a lot of celebrity stuff, and then you hit something that always people have this conversation about when something could end, right? Regardless.
Yes, this was Ladies Home Journal's longest running column with Can This Marriage Be Saved? And I was a little nervous to change it around, but I really feel like, in conversations with my sisters, with my friends, with my mother, there are all these other relationships in women's lives that we talk about. And it's not something that somebody would go see a therapist for, per se. It might be a problem with a coworker or with your sister or with your mother-in-law. Some of these really sensitive topics, and they can really wreak havoc on your life. So we thought, why don't we expand the idea of Can This Marriage Be Saved to other relationships? And let's get a therapist to weigh in on the problem to kind of help you navigate through this. So in this situation, the issue was between two sisters. And one of the sisters is upset because her sister doesn't take care of herself. She has poor health. She doesn't eat well. And how that has affected all of the relationships in the family. So you'll have to read it to see what the advice is. But we plan to continue to do some more, to explore these relationships besides marriage. We'll probably include some marriage as well. But the relationships that matter most to women.
So the issues for Ladies Home Journal, are they quarterly or are they month, or how do the issues go for Ladies Home Journal?
Well, to kick things off, we did the summer 2016 issue, and I believe we're going to be looking at possibly a December or January issue next, and we're hoping to go quarterly after that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So definitely the new editor is seeing the changes in the magazine, but I think it's really important because you want to take the history of this magazine and then put celebrity and real life conversations that really speak to all women. I think that was so much needed. I'm so glad to get the chance to chat
Thank
with you.
So
you.
And
I hope maybe in the
My
winter
sister.
In addition, you're welcome to come back the winter edition for sure to come and talk about that
Thank
as well.
You. I'd love to.
And it was a lot of fun. Where can we find information on you? Do you have a Twitter and stuff that people can follow you and see what you're chatting about?
Yeah.
Or is it best to, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, at Meg Thoman.
Okay, awesome. I'll follow you on Twitter.
Okay.
We'll be tweeting you out everywhere.
Yeah,
trust me,
too.
Be ready when it goes out in the syndication. And then
oh,
Ladies Home Journal Twitter. And for people
Thank
following
so
Ladies
much.
Home Journal, what is the Twitter account for Ladies Home Journal?
I believe it's at LHJ, but I believe it's under construction at the moment. So I'm going to work on getting that off the ground. So that's our next phase.
Oh, wow. You're really doing some interesting moving and shaking, and I can't wait to hear who the next celebrity guests and different articles for the next edition. But I really think it's going to bring a lot of fun. And then once it goes from the quarter changing up different seasons to really bringing this magazine back to where it needs to go in its history. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, we really wanted
to.
Thank you so much, Neil. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And take care. And it was a fun convo. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show. We'll be
Israel. Are you on the line?
Hey.
Hello? Israel, are you on the line? Israel, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello,
yes,
hello.
I hear you perfectly, man. So I'm excited to welcome to the program NFL star Israel Adonijé of Athleta Comics. Israel, thanks for calling Entrepreneur and Everything. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Oh, my good day. Thanks for having me. It's an honor. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to chat with you. Now, tell me specifically, life after football. Why did you do this? After you retire, you know, you put yourself as an entrepreneur. You know, an entrepreneur puts on a lot of hours. What made you
want
to do this? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I enjoy the journey of taking something from, you know, inception and building it into something of some substance. And that's the life of the entrepreneur. I mean, and it's challenging, it's hard. But at the end of the day, it's extremely rewarding to see the growth and development from seed to execution of some of these ideas. Athleta Comics was one of them. And just the traction that we've had, the growth, the development of our team, it's been fantastic. So that's really the journey is what it's all about.
What made it be comics? Were you a huge fan of comics growing up?
I was. You know, my parents are very academic, and in our house growing up, we had to read an hour every day. And, you know, comics was my thing. I did not love reading, and I was fortunate that 13, someone dropped off a bunch of Green Hornet comics at my house. So I started reading those as a part of my mandatory reading in our household. And then 2007, when I wanted to create the story called The Protectors, there was no better way for me that I thought to do it through a comic platform. And that's how this journey began.
Okay, so let's talk about The Protectors. And again, this is an NFLPA licensed product. Tell us about The Protectors.
So The Protectors is the origin story of the athletes in our world today. And in the story, all these athletes in our modern time, their ability in sport is actually a byproduct of a greater gift that they have within them that they don't know they have. So one of the main characters unlocks Isaac Chike, who's a football player. He plays for the Chicago Blaze. And he lets him know that at the end of the day, you know, you're more than just an athlete.
Israel, we all know
Hello?
That's important.
Yep.
Yeah, we all know that's important, Israel. We know the fact that athletes are more than just people on the field to win. The role model
right.
portion of it, the way you really
right.
are on and off the field, such an important thing, how you conduct yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Do you agree with that with the comic for the players? That they have to play that role? Yes.
Absolutely. So I thought it was a unique way and an interesting way to tell that story of use your gift, use your ability, use your platform to do good. And in the story, they're fighting to save humanity and the human race. But there's parallels to that as far as the world we live in actuality. All these athletes and entertainers, what are you doing to use your platform to make our world a little bit better?
Exactly. And once you finally your comic came out, The Protectors. I guess that made you so excited, right? Anytime you share
man.
With people.
Yeah, it's been extremely exciting. And the whole you know, journey itself, the focus was just to hold, you know, one issue in my hand and to say, hey, I sat down over 3 weeks in training camp in Bourbonnais with the Bears, and I created this idea. Now that has, you know, legs, and it's something special. And, you know, now we're working on our sixth issue, and it's been an incredible journey and just a lot of fun.
Who else are you working with? Other athletes are you working with as well, Israel, about the projects and stuff, especially with the NFL and some of the ideas of characters and things?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, with our license with the NFLPA, they've been fantastic partners, so I got to send them some love. We have a division in the story called Sports Heroes, so we'll be taking actual NFL players and turning their life story and the messaging of their life story of their challenges into actual comics, into just single issues that'll allow their fans and their
wow.
their followers to hear their story as from their perspective and their words and the lessons that they've learned on their journey. So that's an exciting part of the company that we're looking forward to unveiling very soon.
I tell you, that's got to be awesome. It's got to be great, especially that players become their own comic book hero. That, I mean,
right.
I'm sure
exactly.
you could go tell these players when you go to the locker rooms and say, man, I can create somebody like, let's say, one that's a superhero in its mindset. Now you could be a comic book.
Exactly.
Tell Cam Newton, now you can really put on.
Yeah.
Put on
well, Cam's already a hero.
That's true. So you're looking at some of the other athletes that are sometimes that you're going to highlight that aren't always seen on the, like, especially
right.
in your position that, you know, we see you with a helmet on, but we don't know who you really are. And that's what this
yeah,
is
I mean,
about too. Yeah.
100%. And it comes down to, you know, we want to tell great stories. So, you know, guys out there, and believe me, there are a lot of guys who've overcome some challenges that we may never know about. So it gives them an opportunity to tell their story. And yeah, we know how great they are on the field, but, you know, to give us some details really about the lessons that have been learned from where they started to where they are today in the NFL, in the NBA, you know, throughout hockey, baseball. That's what, at the essence, at Athletic Comics as a company, we're looking to do. Tell great stories and connect fans and readers with that messaging and with those stories.
So, Israel, where are you going to be? I understand that, as I saw, I got the press release. You'll be going some places to promote the comics, correct? Where are you going to be going next?
Well, right now I'm in San Diego. I'm at San Diego at the Comic-Con. You know, it's incredible here. We have we're at booth 4136 with Indican Films, and yeah, we're just here. I got future Hall of Famer Simeon Rice, you know, at our booth hanging out with us for the weekend. So it's been a lot of fun. We've had a ton of people just come by to you know, take video games and talk comics. So it's been great, and we'll be doing things like that throughout the year, just going to the cons and connecting with fans and kind of just introducing them to what we're doing in the sports space and in other areas that we're involved.
Fantastic. Best place we can find information on your business, yourself, and all that. Where can we go?
Yeah, if just to learn more about Athleta, you can go to athletacomics.com. And you can see really the whole universe of all the things that we're doing. And for some of the stuff that I'm involved in, you can go to Team IIF and teamiif.org. And you can catch up on everything that we're doing on the community as well. And they're all connected. At the end of the day, we're trying to connect everything, you know, and team is important because the work that we're doing in the community isn't possible without the team, without the people involved. And that follows also with the business. So if you're interested in being involved on any level, if you're a writer, if you're a creator, if you want to, you know, mentor kids and have a platform that you want to share, reach out to us. And we'd love to have you as a part of our team.
How about social media wise? What's the best place to follow you and stuff, Israel? Yeah.
Twitter, it's IIDONIJE. So you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I've been fighting Snapchat and Periscope and all that other stuff. I've refused to download it. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to hold up. But on all the other stuff, it's at IIDONIJE. You can follow us and let us know your thoughts. If you picked up our book, definitely shout me out and let me know what you think. And, you know, we'd love to connect with you.
Well, I'd love to have you on anytime you're trying to promote new comics that are coming out. Let's stay in touch, man. Anytime, you're welcome. If you're ever in Pittsburgh, let's hang out sometime for sure. You're doing great things, man. And I love the idea about role models. As an educator myself, owning my own tutoring and consulting company, former teacher, I see the importance of it. I have 5 kids of my own. Creating good role models for kids. We need them today more than ever, Israel. So thanks for calling in and take care.
Hey, thank you so much for allowing us to chat and kind of share our story and what we're doing. It's greatly appreciated.
Well, get ready. I'm going to do a huge social media blitz on you. And be ready. Be ready. Your Twitter's going to be banging the next couple of weeks and all these other things, and we're going to get you on every platform we can, okay?
Oh, man. Amazing. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Israel. See you later.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show. We'll be back in just a moment.